Today is like yesterday, and tomorrow will be like today. Nothing new is really happening. History keeps repeating itself. This attitude has lulled mankind into a self-delusional state, and it is going to, and already is, exacting a very heavy penalty. God had something to say about this attitude, and he especially singles out the house, or I should say the houses that descended from Jacob, both the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And I'd like to begin in Jeremiah 5 as far as my scriptural references, and read verses 10 through 13. This is a chapter that would go hand in hand with the current Standing Watch program by Mr. Norbert Link. And he begins the title with the word soon. Then he talks about war between the United States and Europe and Great Britain, of course, and other English-speaking countries. But the fact that soon is part of that title, I think, should get our attention. Now in Jeremiah 5, in verse 10, and I'll read through verse 13 to begin with in this chapter. And this whole chapter talks about God's judgment on his people. Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not he, neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. It's the attitude I was talking about. Was same old, same old. And the prophets become wind, for the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. Let's continue in this chapter to verse 20, a couple of verses here, to verse 21. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. And then it continues, and I'd like to end up in verses 30 and 31 of chapter 5 of Jeremiah. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed to the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, not by God's power for certain, his inspiration. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? What will you do when you really need God? Things are changing, brethren, in dramatic ways, profound ways. We're marking these things. We're proclaiming it in our writings. And, of course, what Mr. Link and others who are doing video broadcast and even including these posted sermons and sermonettes. By all indications, we have entered the generation which will see the close of this age of Satan's rule over mankind. Do we have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and to understand? Brethren, we must be and we must stay ready for the times in which we live. And part of that requirement is recognizing things for what they are, not this laissez-faire ennui and Wurzschmelz. I'll try a German word like Mr. Rank did. You know, the kind of a world weariness, a boredom that those words would be probably more appropriately used. But there's this malaise that's over the whole earth when it comes to understanding what is about to happen. Well, to the end that we can understand, I have some items. They're signs of the times in which we live as revealed in the Bible. I'll have seven of those. Make some enlargements on each comment or each category, each sign that I talk about. But I want to just highlight some things. It would be impossible for me to recount all of the things that are really applicable because we've written about these whole booklets, dozens upon dozens of pages in one booklet, describing, warning, proclaiming that the end is approaching, that this is the time of the end as far as the generation. And I think there's a perspective, I'll come to this in my sermon a little bit later on, that we need to keep in mind about how we categorize what's happening, how we look at it. Well, number one, the Bible alone describes the time and a time when things as they are now and have been will come to an end. It might be hard to write in your notes, but the Bible describes the end. No other book does. When Daniel prophesied, the end time was in the distant future. But his prophecies, which were closed, were to be understood at the time of the end. I contend, and I think correctly so, that that understanding has been made manifest as in an unfolding way. As we gather more facts, we come to more understanding about the end of the age. It is not a single moment in time, but rather Christ describes it as a generation which should take note and really be attentive. Daniel 12 and verse 4. It's interesting that in Daniel, more than any other place, the specific combination of the words, the time of the end, appear, but throughout the Bible, the essence, the meaning, the application of what the time of the end is, it just simply fills the pages of the Bible in prophecy. Daniel 12 and verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. The book is shut up, but then by inference, the book is going to be open. Daniel 12, still the same chapter in verse 9, and this is the one speaking to Daniel, the angel, he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. That means people were not going to understand what was written. Now, I think it's interesting that Jesus also quoted Daniel in his so-called Olivet prophecy about the time of the end. And he brought forward a little additional understanding because of the context in which he quoted Daniel. He applied the prophecies of Daniel to his own prophetic answer to his disciples about the end time. Matthew 24 and verse 15. Matthew 24 and verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and then parenthetically it's written, whoever reads, let him understand. Oh, boy, yes to that. But notice the additional aspects here. Because when Daniel prophesied, the holy place had been destroyed. It didn't exist. It was leveled to the ground. Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. But here Christ is applying the prophecy of Daniel, and he's saying, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and then he goes on with further details in his prophecy, the church of God has been given understanding about these prophecies. It began decades ago when really it started coming to light. The dimmer switch was switched to the on position, and gradually as events in the world have unfolded, that light has grown in more and more intensity. This understanding, mark this understanding would only come at the close of the age, at the time of the end. That tells us, that's a marker, that's a sign going down the freeway. If you know how that works, you're on a journey and you'll keep noting the signs that say such and such destination is how many miles, and then it gets less and less. We're doing that in prophecy, brethren. There will be an end to the way this world works right now. I can say that. Can you really believe it? And can you prove that by how you live your lives? Or if I'm talking the singular, your life, my life, how we react to these things. Jesus Christ very specifically revealed to his servants major occurrences, and these would occur in an unfolding order, and some would be taking place concurrently, while others would happen in a staggered way, like line one, line two, line three. But understand that several things are being fulfilled all at once. For instance, the unification of Europe, the downgrading of the modern house of Israel and Judah, the utter rebellion in which they've embarked on against God. Those things are all taking place, but also, if what I said earlier holds, if this is that generation then alive right now, is the individual who will be the beast. There is going to be a false prophet come to the scene. If we are living in the last time, these individuals are all in play right now. So what I want you to take away from this is these things are, there's a confluence happening where things are coming together, and it's going to leave the world who is not watching stunned, unable to react because they haven't prepared. It is a key to our understanding to handle all of these events in our thinking and understanding prophecy. It is how we in the church are watching in these weekly updates. And think again what we are accomplishing right now with the updates. You know, you print it out and it's 20, let's say on the average, 2 dozen pages. And maybe even more when you print it out. But it is marking events. And you say, well, boy, there are a lot of little articles in there. They all apply. We are announcing these things to warn and to keep people, for those who will listen and can see, to keep us in a readiness state. We in the church can correlate events, and we can understand. That is a mark that we are in the end of the age. The very fact that we can understand these things at that time, plus the fact that they are actually happening at this time. Again, the wise will understand. Others will be totally unaccepting and unaware. Don't expect others to get it. They won't. That's the plain warning and prophecy by God, because it gets too personal then. It means they have to change. They have to yield to God if they want to really come to the kind of understanding that will be life-saving, that will make a difference. Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, and this is talking specifically about the actual return of Jesus Christ, the exclamation point about at the end of all of these events that we will just lightly touch on today. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. The world will be caught up in just living day by day. Yesterday was the indication of the way it will be today and tomorrow in their attitudes. God really isn't going to intervene. I'll stop there in verse 39. But Christ specifically said that the world will not get it. Now here's the danger. We do. Many have. The Bible also prophesies that the church sleeps, slumbers, and only half of the church wakes up. Now, how we apply that, we can watch and see, but from my standpoint, that means I'd like to be in that group that is awake, that is prepared, that can stand the test. That parable is there for a reason. It's for us to take heed and react to. Jesus narrowed his revelation to the disciples, but primarily to us who would understand these things later, just as we do Daniel. But he narrowed it to show that understanding of the time of the end would become very apparent in the period of a generation, a time frame, but only to some, not to everyone. Matthew 24, we're there. Let's back up to verse 32 and read the three verses there up to 35. He says, and this again is a statement in which he is warning, telling in advance. It's also a way of help. It's roadside assistance on our journey if we believe this and do this. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all of these things, know that it is near. Remember what I highlighted at the beginning about Mr. Link's standing watch program? Soon. War is coming soon. I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Let me just call these seven things I've laid out points. I think it'll be easier to keep track of. So point number two, the Bible provides indications, events and conditions which herald the ominous end of the age. We need to watch world events. Daniel 12:1, here's the expectation that we can hold on to. What is said here in Daniel 12 and verse 1. And I'm talking about events that are unfolding, that are, this is where everything is flowing. This is where it's going to end up. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. You know, we've heard what could happen if in the process of all of these looming and actually they're more than looming, they're taking place, trade wars. What happens when trucking stops down? Or shuts down, I should say. In this nation or any nation, what if food can't be delivered? Things like this are going to take place. This nation will implode. It will be ripe for the picking when the war does come. That will be a culminating act in which then will lead to the captivity of our peoples. Matthew 24 and verses 21 through 22. Here's what Jesus Christ says. And I'm trying to make how ominous the end of the age is going to be. I think we all know these scriptures. This is kind of a checklist. This is a self-examination to see how much we're motivated by it day in and day out. Matthew 24 and verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation. There's where those words appear, by Jesus Christ. Such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. We bear a tremendous responsibility, if we understand the truth, to be faithful to that gift of knowledge and understanding. Rob was talking about superheroes in his sermonette, and I might even refer back to it a little bit here to make the point that you and I, brethren, are by no means superheroes, but what we will accomplish will be superheroic if we remain faithful, if we are among those for whom these days are cut short, so that all flesh is not destroyed. Now, here's a little bit more of what Jesus Christ said in Luke 21, verses 25 through 26. This gives us a little bit more of a graphic layout of how horrible, how disastrous this future we're facing will be. Luke 21 and verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. We've had foretaste of these things, microcosm of what is going to happen. But notice verse 26, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. This will be cosmic, this time of the end. Are you ready for that? I'm not. Let me remind you, ask God. Plead with God like Jesus Christ did when he said he offered up his prayers with tears because it was God the Father who could save him. Ask God to save you, to make you among those who can escape these things. Don't take it for granted. Remind him that you want that. And then be willing to do what is required to attain it. Society will be in absolute rebellion against God in the last days. And some in the church of God will be caught up in this satanic, rebellious attitude. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Even Paul, in his writings, as he solidified the church, was inspired to write of the future times, to prophesy. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, that's the time that Jesus Christ was asked about, is what Daniel was given prophecies about. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Have you seen the news? You almost want to stop your ears where people take the two words, oh and God, and use it as just filler in their language. They will cry, oh God, have mercy on me, in a way that they probably never will understand. When the end does come, it'll take on a whole different usage. But right now, it's used as blasphemous. It's an abomination. It's not something God hears or will listen to. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Wow, does that ever describe our society? Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Look closely at what's happening in the Western societies. Brutality, mindless murders, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. We can warn them, but we can't be part of what they're carving out for themselves. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now bringing this a little bit more closely to the church for these end times. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. There's no doubt that he is going to appear, that the kingdom of God will be established. And for all of that to happen, the end of this age must come. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Brethren, let me ask you, can you be corrected by God? Can you be corrected by one of his representatives, a minister? Do you have the faith? Well, let me say that if you're not up on your game in that aspect, you're probably not ready for the end of the age. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Oh, I love that statement. You know, the graphic on that. But it's to hear something will titillate, will match up and overlay what they're thinking. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And he tells Timothy to be watchful in all things. And don't give up. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, in essence, paraphrasing there. The attitude of people at the end of the age is a sign of that we are in that time. Let's go to Revelation 9. I want to pick up a couple references in the book of Revelation. Even when some of the really bad stuff, and there is a lot of bad stuff going on now, but when the really terribly inescapable bad stuff begins to happen, I want you to notice the attitude of people. Even after some of these trumpet plagues, in Revelation 9 and verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their sexual immorality, of their thefts. Absolutely unwilling to repent. Let's continue with this in chapter 16 of Revelation in verses 8 through 11. Again, I'm making the point that this attitude that is so prevalent is a marker of the fact that we are at the end of the age. Revelation 16, verse 8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Even under these dire punishments, they were unwilling to repent. Well, all of these things that are happening are getting worse and worse, but there are also indications of the time of the end. Point three, the Bible announces the end of Satan's world rule as a marker of the time of the end. But let me add this. He's going to fight and fight to the bitter end. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12. Let's read of events. And again, Mr. Link made the statement. He believes that Satan has been cast out. And he feels that way because of the fruits of what's happening on this earth. Revelation 12, let's read about this event. In verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they could not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Again, an unfolding series of events culminating in this. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Let me skip to verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. He's gone. And good riddance. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time, the last time for him, with one notable exception at the end of the 1,000 years. Matthew 8 and verse 12, even the demons are aware that their current status is going to change. It won't continue. They thought it maybe was occurring in the time of Christ, as we see a demon speaking to Jesus. Matthew 8 and verse 29. It's more than one demon here, but suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" An awareness of the end of things. Now, I know this is almost redundant to say these things, but if we're really keyed in on the fact that things are changing, they're going to change dramatically, and the world as we know it, the societal world, will cease. And Christ will return to the earth to set up God's kingdom. Number four. The Bible describes the time of the end as including the time of Jacob's trouble, as well as prophecies against Judah. By against, I mean about this punishment that they will suffer. Let's go to Jeremiah 30 and read, as we have in years past, these verses about the time of Jacob's trouble, and be reminded of what is about to happen. Jeremiah 30, verses 3 through 11. And this was written again 2700 years ago, something like that. Verse 3, "For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back the captivity," or from captivity, "my people Israel and Judah," and they will be in captivity, says the Lord, "and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." And this begins with the land of Palestine, as we call it today. "Now these are the words of the Lord," are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. "For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it." And boy, coming out of it is not going to be an easy circumstance. "For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, and they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king." So that gives us a little bit of a hint of the setting of all of this fulfillment. "Whom I will raise up for them. Therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, from your captivity, and your siege from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you. Yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished." That punishment is absolutely on its way in. Zechariah 12, verses 2 to 3. To pinpoint a little bit more just how close we are to these things, because right now this prophecy can be fulfilled. It has never been in this position to be fulfilled before, but now it can be. Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3. "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all of the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. So think about that. All of the nations now who are against the Jews, who are vying for control of Jerusalem. And this is only the beginning. Wait till the temple exists in Jerusalem. And that will actually trigger the occupation of Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. When could all nations be gathered against Jerusalem and against Judah? And already that mindset is in place. Then let's also look at a prophecy about Jacob, given long ago to Moses, and he recorded it, caused it to be recorded. It's something that has not happened yet. Of course, in Israel's history, they've been rebellious. They've suffered punishment. They've been taken captive. All of these things have happened before, so we can say, hey, same old, same old. But as the Bible clearly warns, this will be different. This will be worse than ever before. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. Again, note, this is a prophecy for our time. For from there you will seek the Lord your God when they are taken captive. And you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. We have to lift our voices, our voice that is had a megaphone put in front of it through the internet so that it can go out all over the world. That's what Mr. Link is preaching about. It's the very theme. So that people might just have a little bit of inkling that of who they are and the fact that they do need to repent, that there is a God who can save them. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. Prophecies to consider as proof statements that we are in that last generation that Christ said we should be able to recognize by the very events that are taking place. Point number 5. The Bible reveals that some people in the church of God will receive protection during critical periods of the time of the end. And like Israel of old, they weren't in a separate situation as the plagues came on Egypt. They suffered some of them, but they were eventually protected. A difference was made between the children of Israel and those of Egypt. And so it is coming into the future. Revelation 3 and verse 10. We have to be in the time of the end for this to apply to the church of God, because of what is said here, what is described in this verse. Revelation 3 and verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere. In what way? Persevere. Go without food? You know, fast every other day? What? No. Do the work. Because earlier it says you have not denied my name. And how do you deny the name of Christ? But in not doing the works that he's assigned. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also, here's the payoff, here's the benefit, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That's a promise given. Should I read the message to the next church? It's a little heavier, and it is a warning that we should heed. But let me just say this. Christ says, buy of me, I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's not protection, brethren, in that sense. That's heavy correction. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we Christians should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. The end of the ages. Looking for, and here's our ultimate goal, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's that promise. Because of the elect's sake, these days will be cut short, shortened. Luke 21, verse 36. Such a simple statement in one way, utterly profound, of course, but it's something we can let slide if we're not careful. Really careful. Luke 21 and verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass. He's talking about end of age things here in the context of other verses in these closing chapters in Luke. And to stand before the Son of Man, to be in God's kingdom with Jesus Christ, to attain that thing to for which we were called. Christians, mark this, mark it well, are addressed regarding the time of the end. We are told what to do to prepare and to be ready. Are we doing it? Matthew 24 and verse 14. Here's part of the doing it thing. We read this scripture a lot, and it has monumental importance and significance. Matthew 24 verse 14. And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom in the midst of all this horrific stuff that is coming upon us that we are already in, brethren. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So if this gospel is going into all the world, that is definitely a marker, a signpost that we are in that generation when the end will come. We had no idea that we could reach out even, and again, we're only, maybe not use the word only, but we're one of the groups of God's people who are proclaiming this gospel in the world. And we had little idea of where this would all lead. We were reeling from the upheavals of apostasy. And yet the door was provided, and we continue to go through it. You know, we're going to have a tech meeting tomorrow. We have them once a month, and we challenge Mr. Rank to coordinate that, and we lay out things to do, and several people are volunteering in that. Well, several people, not just in that category, several people are putting their shoulder to push this buggy along. that's doing the work. But we can do the work in so many remarkable ways that just weren't open before. These are doors that God has opened. And as long as we're going through them, we're also showing the times in which we are living. We're lifting our voices in that. Point number six. This is an understatement that I'm about to make, but the Bible describes terrible circumstances at the time of the end. I've given you some quotes already in the short statements. Let's look a little bit deeper into the way things will be. In Isaiah 24, this whole chapter lays out a vision that's pretty sobering. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface, and scatters abroad its inhabitants. Those are not allegorical statements. This is what's going to happen. Verses 4 through 6 next. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Out of 7.5 billion people, whatever the number might be currently, few men are left. Verses 17 through 20. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. And it goes on. Quite a descriptive chapter, this Isaiah 24. About the earth, about the time of the end, about the things that will be happening. The Bible reveals, and this is point seven, here's the good news. The Bible reveals that God will intervene in human affairs at the time of the end. His intervention, and that includes inspiring the warnings of his servants, of keeping his hand in the events which we are a part of, but he will intervene at the time of the end. We do something in type, but usually very specifically praying. I hear it Sabbath after Sabbath in one form or the other. Your kingdom done, come. I'll try that again. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not happening now. And it's not going to happen immediately, but it will happen. It will be the very signal to the close of the age. Prophecies which seem mysterious and remote That's the way they were when I first opened the Bible with even a beginning, initial understanding of some of these things. They seemed remote and mysterious, but they're not that way anymore. They're becoming clear. They're becoming clearly focused. Brethren, many things are now in place for fulfillment. All in this generation right now, maybe not my generation into which I was born, but to the one that is in existence now. Is this the time of the end? May God grant that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and that we are ready for all that lies before us.